When you're watching the depth of market on centralized futures, like the NQ or the ES, you're constantly trying to determine whether the resting liquidity you see is genuine intent or just, you know, a mirage.
Right, because the most critical footprint you can identify isn't actually what's visible on the book.
Yeah, it's what's explicitly hidden. I mean, we're looking directly at the anatomy of an iceberg order today.
Exactly. You're watching an institution step into the market to accumulate or distribute massive size.
And they're doing it in a way specifically designed not to spook the market, right?
That's the whole point. The mechanics of that execution are highly specific, and they really revolve around avoiding adverse selection.
Let's break that down. Walk me through the actual mechanics of how an execution desk handles that.
So let's say an institutional execution desk needs to offload a 500 lot on the ES.
Okay, a decent chunk of size.
Right. If they simply place a standard limit order for 500 contracts, they broadcast a massive wall of liquidity to the entire market.
Everyone sees it instantly on the DOM.
Exactly. High-frequency algorithms will immediately spot that imbalance. They'll front-run the order, you know, step ahead of it by a tick.
And other participants will just pull their bids and back away entirely.
Right. The liquidity dries up, so the institution either gets filled at a terrible average price because they basically push the market away from themselves, or they just don't get filled at all.
So to prevent this, they utilize the exchange's native iceberg functionality.
Yes. They instruct the matching engine to show only a tiny fraction of the total order, so maybe just 10 contracts.
And the moment aggressive market orders consume those 10 visible contracts,
the exchange instantly refills that visible quantity with another 10 from the hidden reserve.
It's just a continuous loop.
Exactly. It seamlessly reloads at the exact same price until the entire 500-lot order is either filled or canceled.
For a day trader or a scalper operating on the tape, spotting this mechanism fundamentally shifts your execution framework.
No, absolutely. It changes everything.
You aren't just looking at a 15-minute chart and guessing where support or resistance might logically form based on, you know, previous day's POC.
Right. Or a historical VWAP calculation.
Or some zero DTE options levels.
Yeah.
You're watching a specific price level being actively defended with hidden capital in real time.
It reveals exactly where a major player has committed serious volume to hold a level.
But knowing what an iceberg is conceptually doesn't really do anything for your bottom line unless you can accurately detect it in the live order book.
Well, yeah, because the bulk of the order is invisible by definition.
So detection requires you to understand the math of the execution sequence.
Which brings us directly to the underflow test.
Right. How does that actual calculation work on the back end?
Well, this detection relies on analyzing MBP data. That's market by price.
Right, the standard level 2 data most retail platforms use.
Exactly. MBP data aggregates all resting limit orders at each price level. It doesn't tell you how many individual orders make up that total.
It only gives you the aggregated volume.
Right. So detection happens when you observe a hard mathematical discrepancy between the visible resting size and the executed volume actually printing on the tape.
Because the aggressive market orders always have to be matched with passive limit orders.
Always. So if the tape prints, say, 80 contracts traded at the bid, but your MBP data only ever showed a maximum of 6 contracts resting there at any given millisecond.
Math breaks.
Completely breaks. The remaining 74 contracts had to come from somewhere, which means hidden liquidity.
So you're constantly quantifying the executed volume and comparing it against the visible depth to flag that underflow.
That's the core heuristic, yeah.
You can visualize this action vividly when you're tracking, say, a buy iceberg on the NQ acting as hidden support.
The NQ is a great example for this because of how fast it moves.
Right. So you're watching aggressive, motivated sellers hammering the bid. They're throwing heavy market sell orders into the book, expecting to drive the price down.
But the price simply refuses to tick lower.
The visible size on the bid remains suspiciously constant.
Yeah, it gets hit, drops for a fraction of a millisecond, and instantly refreshes back to that original visible size.
It acts like it's like a hydraulic piston absorbing shock.
That's a perfect analogy.
No matter how much aggressive pressure the sellers apply, the mechanism just absorbs the impact and resets to its default position.
But you have to clearly distinguish that specific piston-like behavior from other liquidity phenomena.
Because acting on the wrong signal is fatal in these markets.
Oh, absolutely fatal.
Look, I've stared at liquidity heat maps, seen a massive glowing band of resting limit orders, and bought into it thinking it was institutional defense.
Let me guess, you watched the price slice right through it in seconds.
Exactly, just chewed right through it. So if that wasn't a defense, what was it? How do I tell the functional difference in the order flow between a heavy heat map wall, algorithmic spoofing, and a genuine iceberg?
The operational differences are night and day. It really comes down to intent versus visibility.
Okay, start with the heat map wall.
A heat map wall is resting size that is entirely visible to the market. It's passive liquidity sitting on the MBP data, declaring its presence.
So it's obvious to everyone.
Right. And because it's visible, it influences market behavior before it ever trades.
It's almost like a gravitational pull or repellent, depending on how the algos read it.
Exactly. An iceberg, conversely, is practically invisible on the heat map until the exact moment it begins to execute.
You literally can't map it until it trades.
You can't. Now, spoofing is a totally different game. That's visible liquidity intentionally placed with zero intention of executing.
Right, an algorithmic spoofer flashes a massive limit order just to manipulate the price.
They're creating the illusion of a wall to trap retail momentum, yeah. And then they cancel that order the millisecond before price actually reaches it.
So an iceberg is basically the polar opposite of spoofing.
Yes. Spoofing is fake visible liquidity. An iceberg is real hidden liquidity that is definitively confirmed by actual executions printing on the tape.
Okay, but if detecting an underflow is just basic math, I mean, comparing executed volume to visible volume, surely institutional algorithms know we're running these calculations.
Oh, they are well aware.
So how do they hide the math? Because exchanges don't formally label icebergs in the data feed, right?
No, they don't.
So detection is entirely an inference, which means there have to be blind spots.
You have to accept that the heuristic is flawed. Detection algorithms rely on that aggregated MBP data to flag the underflow.
The logic of executed volume divided by visible volume is sound, though.
It is sound, but it isn't flawless. Think about it. If multiple retail traders happen to place limit orders at the exact same price at the exact same millisecond, then an aggressive order sweeps the book.
The aggregation can briefly mimic the rapid refreshing of an iceberg.
Exactly. The heuristic occasionally generates a false positive. It flags an iceberg where there's really only coincidental, fragmented liquidity replacement.
And institutions exploit this inference heavily, don't they?
Constantly. That's the arms race in algorithmic execution.
Right. They aren't just sitting there letting retail platforms map their native exchange orders anymore.
Not a chance. They've escalated to synthetic icebergs.
What's the functional difference there?
Well, native icebergs are handled directly by the exchange's matching engine. You submit the order, and the exchange manages the hidden quantity and the reload.
But to evade detection?
To evade detection, institutions deploy synthetic icebergs managed entirely by execution software outside the exchange.
So the algorithmic execution engine holds the bulk of the order on its own proprietary servers.
Yes, it sends a small standard limit order to the exchange. And when that order fills, the software generates a brand new order, assigns it a completely new order ID, and routes it to the exchange.
Wow. So even if you upgrade to full MBO data, market by order data, which provides individual queue positions and order IDs,
you will still struggle to track a synthetic iceberg. The order IDs change every single time.
But wait, how does that break the math of the underflow test? I mean, if 80 contracts trade and only 6 were visible, the math still flags an anomaly, regardless of the order ID.
It does, but the synthetic algorithm intentionally randomizes the time delays and the reload sizes.
So it's not a clean, predictable loop.
Exactly. It doesn't just reload 10 contracts instantly. It might reload 3 contracts after a 50 millisecond delay.
Then maybe 7 contracts after a 200 millisecond delay.
Right, and then 4 contracts instantly. It adds latency jitter, so the resting liquidity mimics the natural, disjointed flow of individual retail traders clicking buy on their DOMs.
That's incredibly sophisticated. By randomizing the replenishment, it breaks the rigid mathematical sequence of the underflow test.
Completely. And it gets worse. High-frequency algorithms intentionally mimic native iceberg behavior, too.
You mean they spoof the iceberg signature?
Yes. They rapidly cancel and replace small orders at a specific price level to deliberately trigger retail detection tools.
Just creating a false signal of institutional absorption to trap order flow traders into taking the wrong side of the market.
Exactly. They know you're running the underflow test, and they feed it bad data.
This is exactly why time filtering is a non-negotiable parameter for practitioners.
You cannot apply this heuristic in all market environments.
Right. If you're trading the NQ at, say, 3:00 a.m. Eastern, the order book is so thin that a standard 50-lot market order can chew through 4 price levels.
Easily. And the natural, disjointed refilling of the book by market makers constantly triggers the underflow heuristic.
The signal-to-noise ratio just completely collapses.
You must restrict this tactic strictly to highly liquid hours.
So for U.S. equity indices, you're looking at the primary session. So say 9.30 to 11.1 at Eastern time.
Right, and the afternoon session from 14.00 to 15.15 Eastern time.
You only trade this when there's sufficient background liquidity to validate that the absorption is an intentional, capitalized defense.
Rather than just a sparse, illiquid order book naturally backfilling, spotting the footprint and filtering out the noise gives you a distinct structural advantage.
It gives you a head start, right?
A huge one. A head start of several seconds, sometimes tens of seconds, before that hidden defense clearly manifests as a reversal on a traditional candlestick chart.
But diagnosing the order flow is only half the battle.
Yeah.
How you actually put on the trade without getting run over requires absolute rigid discipline.
It really does. The execution side is where most people fail.
The practitioner iron rule here is always with it, never blindly against it.
You don't step in front of a moving train.
Exactly. If you identify a sell iceberg, hidden resistance, and you decide to buy into it because your momentum oscillator is screaming overbought, or you're trying to play a breakout,
you are providing the exact exit liquidity the institution is demanding.
You're going to be absorbed and you're going to be stopped out. At the same time, we have to address the psychology of the entry. When you're watching the tape and you see that level holding, every instinct in your body wants to aggressively front run the level by a tick so you don't miss the fill.
The FOMO is real.
Right. If you spot hidden support at 5,500 on the ES, you want to blindly place your buy limit at 5,500.25.
But if you do that, you're assuming the institution has an obligation to hold that level for you.
Which they absolutely don't.
No, they can pull their hidden order at any millisecond.
And if they cancel their algorithm, your perceived support instantly vaporizes.
And the aggressive sellers who were previously hitting the iceberg will sweep right through your front run order.
So your entry requires mandatory confluence and patience. You do not trade the underflow detection alone.
Never alone. You must wait for the defended level to definitively hold. You're waiting for the aggressive order flow to exhaust itself against the hidden liquidity.
That's where you're watching the CVD, right? The cumulative volume delta.
Exactly. CVD calculates the net difference between aggressive market buyers and aggressive market sellers.
So if the CVD is pushing to severe new lows, indicating aggressive market selling is dominating the tape.
But the actual price of the asset is completely stalled at the iceberg level.
Then you have a massive CVD divergence.
That divergence is your mechanical confirmation of absorption. The aggressive sellers are expending all their capital, driving the delta negative, but achieving zero price displacement.
They're just hitting a brick wall.
Right. And the final trigger for your entry is when that delta actually starts turning.
When the aggressive sellers finally give up, realizing they can't break the level.
Yes. Aggressive buyers begin to step in, lifting the offer. That exact moment when the tape shifts from absorption to aggressive response is when you enter the trade.
Moving in the direction of the iceberg's defense.
Exactly.
Now, once you're in the trade, there's zero wiggle room on your risk management.
None.
Your stop loss must be placed brutally tight. You place it roughly one tick behind the defended level.
So if the iceberg was sitting at 5,500, your stop is at 5,499.75.
There's no widening the stop. There's no giving the trade, you know, room to breathe based on a moving average or something.
No, and here's the structural reason why. Your entire trade hypothesis is based on the premise that a massive institutional player has the capital and the intent to defend that specific price tick.
Right.
If the price trades through that level, it means one of two things happened. Either the institution pulled their order, or their hidden reserve was completely exhausted by overwhelming aggression.
And in either scenario, your thesis is invalidated instantly.
Instantly. There's nothing left to analyze. You have to be out.
As for targets, because you're getting in at the precise point of defense, your risk-to-reward ratio should be heavily skewed in your favor.
You must target at least 2R.
But equally important is implementing a rigid time stop. This is a momentum execution, right?
It is. If you enter the trade and the price hasn't moved a few ticks in your favor within approximately 5 minutes, the momentum is dead.
The aggressive exhaustion didn't lead to a responsive reversal.
Exactly. You close the position. You don't sit in a stagnant trade hoping for random volume to bail you out.
That tight stop loss rule exists for one specific, highly volatile reason tied to market microstructure.
What happens when an iceberg actually fails?
Right. Because an iceberg order guarantees absolutely no reversal. It's a massive barrier. But barriers break.
They do break.
When you're watching the tape and you see aggressive volume continually pounding the iceberg, there's always a mathematical possibility that the hidden reserve simply runs out before the aggressors do.
And when that exhaustion occurs, the barrier snaps. The resulting price action is incredibly violent.
Talk about the mechanics of that snap. Why is it so violent?
Well, because the iceberg held the price at a specific level for a prolonged period, multiple market participants built positions around it.
Retail traders, proprietary algorithms, other institutions, they were all leaning on that exact level for support.
Right. And where are their stop-loss orders? They're densely clustered immediately below that iceberg.
So when the iceberg fails, the price drops into a liquidity vacuum.
It triggers every single one of those stop orders. And those sell stops become aggressive market sell orders, which drive the price down further, triggering the next cluster of stops.
It's a chain reaction. You can see it visually on the tick. The speed of the prints just accelerates exponentially.
The bid-ask spread widens out from one tick to three or four ticks.
The CVD plummets vertically. It's a full-blown stop cascade.
Because of the compressed energy built up at the iceberg level, the follow-through move after a failure is typically 2 to 3 times larger than an average rotational move.
This is exactly why the practitioner exit is completely non-negotiable. The exact moment that defended level falls, you're out.
You don't wait to see if it's a false breakdown.
If you hesitate, you're caught in the stop cascade. You suffer massive slippage, and your one tick loss turns into a 10-point drawdown in a matter of seconds.
Your edge is derived from the detection and the structural imbalance, but your survival is derived entirely from respecting the failure condition.
Right. Now, for those looking to apply this systematically, the Motive Wave Iceberg Study runs this exact underflow test.
It does. It specifically calculates the executed divided by visible volume.
While utilizing aggressor dominance and extreme absorption filters to clean up the MBP data.
Right, which helps filter out some of that noise we talked about earlier.
You can explore the mechanics of that specific setup at wickflow.com.
It's a solid tool for tracking this stuff.
Ultimately, the dynamics of order flow are constantly shifting as execution algorithms evolve.
Yeah.
We're observing a massive escalation in synthetic tranches and external order management designed specifically to obscure these footprints.
The arms race never stops.
It doesn't. Which leaves you with a critical structural question to evaluate in your own tape reading going forward. As institutional execution algorithms get increasingly sophisticated at randomizing their sizing and latency to hide their passive liquidity entirely, will the true edge in order flow shift away from detecting hidden passive size and move purely toward tracking the point of exhaustion in aggressive market orders?